Amen, amen. Good morning. And so just for the record, it's 30 plus hours traveling to be here in Middle Tennessee. So it's what a pleasure, what an honor to be here. I want to introduce my family real quick. I've got a picture I want to put up here. So this is my family. I've got two kids and one wife. And so I'll start with the wife, right? This is my wife, Angie, my beautiful bride, Angie. We've been married for 16 years, and Angie's from Fort Smith, Arkansas, and she is a kindergarten teacher. She's taught over 15 years. At least I got the how long we've been married correct, right? That's the important one. And so she teaches kindergarten at an international school there in Bangkok. My oldest is Eden, and she is 7 years old, and she will be eight in September. She's going into third grade. And then she was born in Memphis. And then my youngest is Kairos, and we call him Kai for short, and he is four. He'll be five in November. He's going into pre-K this fall. So if you see my kids today, my son has face tattoos, and my daughter has a neck tattoo. What can I say? We're from Antioch. But no, I'm joking. They're sticker tattoos, you know, from 4th of July. So he did not just come out of prison. Okay, so but we're so glad to be here. This is home for me, Middle Tennessee. As I mentioned, I grew up in Antioch, went to Middle Tennessee State, and then transitioned over to Memphis for ministry for about 10 years, where we planted a church and worked among different immigrant communities. And that's where the Lord grew my heart for other cultures and world missions. And then the Lord called us to Bangkok in 2019. So that's where we have been. And so I bring you greetings from the Life Point Bangkok campus. We are experiencing a season of growth. We just moved into a new space, a new building, which accommodates the growth that we are experiencing. Is providing us more opportunities for outreach. And so, for example, we continue to reach children in the urban slums of Bangkok. We have the opportunity to go into these slums and to love on these kids through sports and through crafts and sharing the message of Jesus with them and loving on them with the love of Christ. We continue to minister to vulnerable families through a program that we're involved in called Keeping Families Together, it's an 18-month program where we teach families essential life skills. And we're building relationship with them, and you know, which provides gospel-centered conversations. We are now ministering through a conversational English outreach called All in English, where we teach basic English to the Thais in our community, many of whom are stepping into to church for the first time because they're eager to learn the English language. It's really interesting when you listen to the testimonies of a lot of Thais. They'll say that, the first engagement or the first time they came into a church was to learn English. And so it's a great tool. And so we're excited that we're able to have an outreach. We're even teaching Korean, okay? Korean. That's right. We've got a Korean couple in our church. They're missionaries. And I don't know if you've heard of K-pop or I don't know if that's caught on over here, but in Asia, it is all the rage. It's all about, K-pop and Korean dramas and all this stuff. And so it's a great, unique opportunity to teach the Korean language to Thais and being able to, engaging them and, many people coming into the church for the very first time. We've got an expanded cafe space now, and we're having customers, more than ever. From the surrounding community, our church is situated in a community that's surrounded by three or four high-rise condos. We're right by a BTS station, not the K-pop group, but it's our SkyTrain Bangkok Transit System. And so a very busy area, and so a lot of customers, a lot of people coming in. Again, many of whom have never stepped into a church, but they'll come into our cafe that's on the bottom floor of our church. So it's an exciting time of growth and of gospel opportunities. And so I thank the Lord for you, this campus, this church, and your partnership with us, you know, for the gospel in Bangkok. Through your prayers, through your generosity, through your sending of people last summer, you sent a team led by your pastor, and the team came and served us faithfully. And then you didn't stop there, though. You said, we're not just going to send a team. We're going to send two of our very best, right? Two of your young ladies, Kinsley and Keely. They came in January. They served with us for 6 months. And let me tell you, Kinsley and Keely is not easy to pronounce, okay, in the Thai language. And so our Thai folks have given them Thai names. That's right. So they will now be known as Manau and Kauhom, okay? And so that's their Thai names. And you can ask them what that means, okay? And so, but it's been an incredible joy to have them, and they've done an incredible job. Church, I want you to, you should be very proud of them. They from day one, they've just served without complaint. They've served very faithfully with a great attitude. They've been a huge blessing, not only to our church, but also to my family as well. And so I just want to honor them and say thank you to them publicly. You know, they've experienced a new culture. They've developed deep friendships. And I think that they've grown tremendously in their faith. And so thank you for sending them. I know it's not an easy thing to do. I know it takes faith. I know that it took a lot of faith for their families to say, yeah, go to the other side of the world and live in an urban city of 15 million people, larger than New York City. I know that it took a lot of faith for you as a church to send them. I know that it took a lot of faith for them to get on a plane and fly to the other side of the world to spend 6 months living in a new country and in a foreign culture. But faith, that's what God calls all of us to do, right? God calls us to faith. He calls us to take steps of faith. The Christian life is really one step of faith after another. It begins with the step of faith to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, but it continues in steps of faith through the Christian life. And so this morning, this is what I want to share with you. This is what I want to talk with you about is faith and what it means for us to take steps of faith. And I hope that this morning our faith would be increased and that we can take greater steps of faith in our lives. So I'm going to talk about what happens when we take steps of faith with Jesus and where that could lead us. This morning's passage is a familiar one. It's a story that many of you have heard, I'm sure. It's the story of Jesus walking on water. You know, if we were to go out here to the community and poll, you know, 100 people and ask, hey, what is Jesus known for? I bet that one of the top three answers would be that he was the guy who walked on water, right? Like this is, even if people don't go to church, they know that Jesus walked on water. And you know, people, when they remember this story, they often remember this as a story of an example of Jesus's supernatural ability to walk on water. And that would be right to do so, to remember that this story is about Jesus and the miracle that he performed. You know, Jesus is the hero of this story. Jesus is he's really the hero of every story. All of Scripture points to Christ, right? But this morning, I want us to look at the story from the vantage point of the other person who walked on water. You know, there's somebody else who also walked on water in that story, right? And I want us to see and talk about the incredible faith that it took for him to step out of that boat and walk on water with Jesus. And I hope that this, again, could give us a picture of what it would look like for us to also take great steps of faith in obedience to Christ. So this morning, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to be in verses 22 through 33. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea.
But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." What an incredible story about a man who stepped out. I want to provide some context for you as we begin. See, right before this, Jesus has just finished miraculously feeding close to about 15,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And his disciples just witnessed this incredible miracle. Can you imagine if someone did that today, right? I mean, with the prices that I'm paying at Walmart for groceries, I mean, man, if somebody could multiply food, that would be incredible. And so his disciples saw this, right? And they just went through this incredible time of this miracle. But immediately after that, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat. He says, "All right, you guys get on the boat and meet me on the other side. I'm going to stay back. I'm going to dismiss the crowd, and then I'll meet you over there." So that's what they did. They got on a boat. They started rowing. Jesus stayed back. He dismissed the crowd. Then he heads up to go up on a mountain for some quiet time to pray and be with his Father. And by the time the evening came, the crowd was gone. Jesus was on the mountain, and the disciples were on the water. And this is where things start to get interesting. Because while out on the water, the disciples, they run into a storm. Verse 24 says that, "But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them." See, strong winds carried them, it says here in the scripture, a long way from the land. In John's gospel, it tells us that they were somewhere around 3 or 4 miles from the land. Mark's version of the story tells us that they were straining at the oars because of the wind. They were having a hard time. I can only imagine the fear that they must have felt drifting at sea in the middle of the night, in the dark, right, with these strong winds up against them. Now, I want you to keep in mind that back in that time, people often perished at the sea because of these types of storms. So we're not talking about a nice sunset cruise on the Sea of Galilee here, okay? We're talking about these guys were afraid for their lives, right? And here they were in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a lake, without their leader, without their master. Now, if you're familiar with the scriptures, you know that they've been in a similar situation before. They were on a boat. They were in a lake in the middle of a storm, except that time Jesus was with them on the boat. Jesus was asleep. He woke up. He told the storm to calm down, and he went back to sleep, right? But this time it was different. This time the disciples, they were by themselves. Jesus was not on the boat with them. And they felt, you know, they were on their own this time. And I'm sure they felt every bit of that, that they were on their own. I wonder if they were thinking in that moment, "Jesus, why don't you just come with us? Jesus, why would you make us get on this boat? We are now in the middle of this storm. Why are we here by ourselves?" And oftentimes when we are in the middle of a storm, we feel that way too, don't we? Where is God? Why would he put me in this situation? Why am I going through this difficult season of my life? Anybody ever felt that way? In the middle of a storm, it is difficult to see God's purposes. But I want you to know that every storm that you will face in your life is God ordained. Just as Jesus knew that storm was coming when he sent his disciples into the Sea of Galilee, every storm that you and I will face in this life is ordained by God. It doesn't come out of the blue, even though it seems that way from our vantage point. But remember that God is sovereign over all things, and he has a purpose for your storm. Some storms are meant to sanctify us. They make us more like Christ. Some storms are meant to draw us nearer to the Lord, to help us deepen our dependence on him. I believe Jesus sent his disciples
on the boat in this story into the water for a purpose. And I believe that that purpose is to strengthen their faith in him. You see, the disciples, they were out there, they were rowing and rowing away. And no matter how hard they tried, though, the wind kept taking them further and further away from the land. It's interesting to think about how long these guys were out on the boat rowing. Does anybody know how long they were actually out there rowing in the middle of the sea? Verse 25 tells us, because it tells us that in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. The fourth watch of the night, all right? If you don't know what time that would have been, let me break it down for you, okay? Back in the day, they would divide the night into three-hour segments, into four watches of the night. The first watch would start from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's considered the first watch. The second watch was 9 p.m. to midnight. The third watch was from midnight to 3 a.m., and the fourth watch began at 3 a.m. into 6 a.m. Folks, these boys have been out in the water rowing for close to 10 hours. 10 hours on this boat trying to get to land. The wind kept taking them. Can you imagine what this must have felt like? I like to work out. I've been on a rowing machine. I don't last but 30 minutes, okay? 10 hours rowing. You know, when I think about the most exhausted and tired I've ever felt, I think about 10 years ago, my wife and I went to Tokyo, Japan, and the friend that we were staying with said, you should climb Mount Fuji. You know, it's fun, they say. It's great, they say. I said, I don't really climb mountains. He said, don't worry, everybody does it. He said, old ladies do it, young people do it. You guys will have an awesome time. You're in Japan just once, so hey, climb Mount Fuji. So we took his advice, and it took us 8 hours to get up to the top, 5 hours to get to the bottom. And on the way up there, it was about 3 a.m. It was dark. I'm sleep deprived because we're trying to get to the top for a sunrise, and everything is spinning around me, and I'm about to pass out. Because I didn't know I have altitude sickness. You know, you don't know until you get up there, right? And so I'm out of breath. I'm about to die. I remember there was a moment. It's somewhere around 3 a.m. and we're a few hundred meters from the top. And I said, I just got to sit down. And I sit down on this cleft of a rock on Mount Fuji. And I remember things started to kind of like black out. And so it's like my vision just started going like this. And I remember thinking in that moment, I'm going to die on this mountain. I remember I told Angie, I was like, I'm so tired, I'm so sleepy, but I feel like if I go to sleep right now, I'm gone. Like, that's it. I won't come back from that. I was so incredibly exhausted. The disciples were out there rowing for 10 hours. They were physically exhausted. They were emotionally exhausted, tired and terrified and wondering if and when Jesus would ever show up. And Jesus did show up. It wasn't on the first watch. It wasn't on the second watch. It wasn't on the third watch. They didn't show up. He didn't show up probably when they wanted him to. He didn't show up when they expected him to. But listen, Jesus always shows up on time, in his timing and according to his purpose. And we can rest in God's perfect timing. We can rest in the fact that he is sovereign. He has a plan that works together for our good and for his glory. And by the time Jesus showed up, his disciples were so tired and they were so terrified, they didn't recognize him. Verse 26 says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. You know, when I preach this passage in Bangkok, it really hits different. And let me tell you why. It hits really different for Thai people because Thai people, many Thais legitimately live in fear of spirits. All over Bangkok, all over Thailand, you will see these, what we call spirit houses. They're in people's homes, they're at businesses, they're at hotels, these spirit houses. And this is where people would burn incense and make offerings to try to appease what they believe were the spirits that lived in those areas. You would see many people wear amulets, these amulets that they believe would guard them against evil spirits and against bad spirits. The people in Thailand live in fear of spirits. So they would have been on that boat and they would have cried out, it's a ghost, just like the disciples did. The disciples, they were terrified. Now, to be fair to the disciples, remember, It's been about 10 hours, and they were just trying not to die. I think I might have been a little on edge, too, if I was in their situation. And I think by that time, they weren't even looking for Jesus to come and rescue them. And they certainly probably weren't expecting him to come out walking on the water. Again, add to the fact that it was a commonly held belief that those who drowned at sea were unable to go to the realm of the dead and that they wandered endlessly above the waters. This was a common belief at the time. So here they were in the middle of a storm, late into the night, and they see someone walking out on water towards them. They thought it was a ghost. They were terrified. They thought it was someone, the ghost of someone who had drowned at sea. And so because of these circumstances, they didn't recognize Jesus when he came to them. Because they were full of fear and anxiety in the middle of their storm, they didn't recognize when Jesus came to rescue them. Instead of rejoicing in their rescue, they were terrified. And so Jesus, the first thing that he said to them to reduce their fear, to calm them down, he said, "Take heart, it is I. It's me. Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of our fear and anxiety, Jesus spoke words of comfort. Take heart means to be cheerful, to be encouraged. I don't think this means that we should pretend that our problems do not exist. I don't think it means that we should just put on a smile and just move on through your storm. No, it's okay to have emotions. It's okay to cry out to God. It's okay to lament, to mourn when you're going through a difficult season. But we don't despair as people who don't have hope. We don't mourn to the point of distrusting God and his goodness and his sovereignty over our lives. No, we can take heart and we can trust in Jesus even as we go through the storms of life. And many times, in order for us to move from fear to faith, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of God's promises. We need to be reminded of the things that he says to us. We need to hear his voice in the midst of the storm. You know, my daughter, sometimes she would wake up at night after I put her down to sleep, and she would wake up in the dark, and you know, if I'm not there next to her, she would get scared and she would cry. She says, Daddy, are you there? I'd walk in the room and I said, Eden, it's okay. I'm here. She doesn't see me. It's completely dark, but she hears my voice. And that's all that she needs to comfort her and to calm her. And I would say, it's okay, baby. It's Daddy. I'm here. Let's go back to sleep. All she needs is to hear my voice in the darkness to know that it will be okay. At that moment, the disciples had a choice. Would they continue in fear, would they respond in faith? Verse 28 tells us, "And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus." Folks, we have heard this story so many times that we just kind of gloss over how incredible this is. How incredible this moment is, how incredible his response is. Because I don't know about you, but if I'm in Peter's situation, I probably would have said, "Oh, Jesus, it's you. Thank God it's you. So glad you're here. Hey, remember last time you calmed that storm? Could you do this again?" Right? I probably would have responded in that way. I probably would have said, "Oh, we're in the storm. Can you see Jesus? Let's get rid of the storm first. You're here now. I know you can do. Can you please stop the storm?" That's not what he says. He says, "Jesus, if that is you, if that's where you are, if that's you out there walking on the water, then I want to join you. I want to be where you are. I want to be where you are." And that's a statement of incredible faith. And so this morning, briefly in our last few minutes together, I want to share some truths that we can learn about faith from Peter's response. The first is this: that great faith involves listening to and discerning the voice of God. Great faith involves listening to and discerning the voice of God. What did Peter say to Jesus? He says, "Lord, if it is you, if that's you, then command me to come to you on the water." And of course, Jesus said, "Then come." And then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. You see, Peter was not going to walk out on that water unless he was sure that it was Jesus who called him to do so. Peter's faith, yes, it involved risk. That's what faith is. It doesn't involve risk, but it wasn't reckless. You realize that? Right? We look at this and we say, why would Peter get out there and just walk on water? He's never done that before. But it wasn't reckless, because faith is a calculated risk, but the calculation is based on what we know and believe about God. It is a calculated risk based on what we know and believe about God. You see, Peter had already seen Jesus do this before. He'd already seen Jesus calm the storm. He just saw Jesus miraculously feed 15,000 people. He knew what his Lord could do. He knew that Jesus had the power to do these things. So as soon as he knew that it was Jesus, as soon as he was sure that it was his Lord who called him out there on that water, he placed his trust in Jesus. And he says, I'm coming out there with you. And see, before we can take steps of great faith, we too must learn to listen to and discern the voice of God in our lives. Well, what does that look like for us today? I believe that God today primarily speaks to us through three avenues. First is the Word of God. He speaks to us through his written word that he has given to us. Second is this indwelling Spirit of God that lives in us, that teaches us his truths, that convicts us of sin, that guides us into our truth. And third is the people of God that he has placed in our lives. And so when trying to discern God's will for your life, ask yourself, first, what does the Word of God say about this? Is there a specific command in Scripture? Is there a general principle in Scripture? Is this affirmed in Scripture? Am I violating Scripture in any way? And so it's important for us in the process of discerning and listening to the voice of God, it's important for us to then abide in his word. It's important for us to pray to the Lord to reveal to us in his word what he would have us to do. Maybe some of you are in a place in your life where you've got to make some decisions that require great faith. Look to his word that he has given us to discern his voice. We should ask ourselves, what does the indwelling Holy Spirit have to say? Do I have peace about this decision? Do I sense the Spirit leading me in this direction or the other? So it's important for us then to be in consistent prayer and fasting, asking the Lord to reveal himself through his Spirit. We should ask ourselves, what does my church, the people of God, what does my pastor have to say on this matter? Seek the counsel of those who are spiritually mature in your life, those who guide you spiritually. Seek the counsel of the spiritually mature men and women in your life. Ask your friends and your family to pray for you and to pray with you when making decisions. And so it's important for us to be in biblical community. That's why there's no Lone Ranger Christian. We need others in our lives through whom God's going to use to speak to us. I'll tell you, when we made the decision as a family to move to uproot and move the family to Thailand, I'm so thankful for the men and women, the people in my life that God used to affirm that decision for us. And I asked some of my best friends, the people I trust, I said, would you pray for me? Pray, and I'm going to, if God tells you the answer for me, please tell me. But it's involving other people in your life, because God's going to use them to speak to us. So Peter said, Lord, if it is you, command me to walk on water, and I will walk on water. But Peter still had to step out of the boat, because great faith requires us to step out of our place of comfort and security. See, for the disciples that night, the boat was their place of comfort and security. And if you're in their situation, you may feel that way too. The winds and the waves, they were danger, right? They meant danger and risk. In their minds, the boat was the safest place for them to be. But in reality, the most secure place for them to be was with Jesus. Because he is the master over the storm. And the best place for you and me to be is in the perfect will of God. It may not make sense to the world. It may not make sense in the most logical sense. And it may not even be according to your plans. It may take you out of your comfort zone. It might be a bit more dangerous than you're used to. But if you're in the will of God, under the care of God, you are right where you need to be. taking great steps of faith will require you to take a step out of your comfort zone, out of your security. Great faith also requires us to do things we have never done before. Peter was an experienced fisherman. He's been on a boat out in the water. Peter's probably seen a storm or two throughout his life and his career. But I can guarantee you, that man ain't never walked on water. And so remember that when Peter was when Peter asked Jesus to command him to come out on the water, remember that he is asking Jesus to command him to do something he's never done before. And God may be calling you to do something. And the first thing that comes to your mind is, Lord, I've never done that before. Lord, I've never led my family in that way. Lord, I've never served in that ministry. Lord, I've never been to that country. And God says, exactly. And that's why you need to step out in faith and trust me. Because great faith requires us to, sometimes will require us to do things we've never done before. Great faith also requires us to step out even when others do not. Notice the other disciples were not as eager as Peter to get out of that boat. Now, we will never know what they were thinking. You know, were they like, Peter, I don't know about that, bro. You know, we don't know. They're like in our corner, like, all right, you go first, bro. You go first. We'll watch, all right? We don't know what they were thinking. It wasn't recorded for us. But we do know how Peter responded. We know that he took the initiative. We know that he was willing to step out on the boat even when his peers would not. You know, in Bangkok, the majority of our Thai brothers and sisters do not come from Christian homes. In fact, many of them, over 95% of them, I would say, in our church, are the only Christians in their family. And so that means that they chose to follow Jesus, often against the wishes of their loved ones. Because great faith requires us to step out, even when others do not. I remember when I first became a Christian, one of the first songs I learned as a young person was, I have decided to follow Jesus. Remember that song? I remember hearing the second line. I remember hearing it for the first time. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. And that's a powerful reminder for us. Not only, that's not just a song you sing when you first become a Christian, but that's a song that we need to sing over our lives every day. It's a reminder for us every day as a Christian that we will take steps of faith along our journey, and many times, even when others do not follow us. We have to take a stand for Jesus when others compromise. We have to be obedient when others disobey. We have to go when others stay. Peter stepped out of that boat while his friends did not. They stayed in the boat. Lastly, great faith requires us to keep our eyes on Jesus. You see, Peter took this giant leap of faith, and he was doing great. He was doing something no one's ever done before. He was walking on water. But before long, he took his eyes off Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand to caught of him and saying to him, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? You see, Peter, he was out there. He's walking on water. I'm just imagining him like, whoa, this is cool. Never felt this before. And he began to look at the wind. And he began to see the waves and all that fear that he had experienced for over 10 hours. All that fear began to creep back in. And you know, a few moments ago, he was walking on water with Jesus. Now all of a sudden, he's starting to sink again. And when we take steps of faith, when we step out of our place of comfort and security, when we do things we've never done before, it's not going to be easy. And so we must remain focused on Jesus, because moments of doubt will emerge. They will come up. They will creep back in. Did I make the right decision? Is God really calling me to do this? Man, this isn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. And when it becomes difficult to follow Jesus, when the storms of life come in, it will be tempting to look at the winds and the waves that surround us. But instead, we need to fix our gaze upon Jesus. We need to lean into his promises. We need to remind ourselves of who he is, of who he called us to be and called us to do, and allow him to lead us as we walk with him. Faith will sustain us where fear will cause us to stumble. And when we do stumble, he'll be right there to pick us up. Reach out his hand to pick us up. I want to close this morning by reminding us that as we talk about faith and, you know, we talk about these truths about faith, yes, this morning I hope to encourage you in your faith. I hope to encourage you to look to Jesus, right, to what you know about who he is and what you believe him to be and what he can do in your life, and look to him and say, yes, I will step out and I will walk with you. I will take that step of faith. I want to encourage you in that, but I also want to remind you that faith is a gift from God. This isn't a message to ask you to muster up enough strength and faith on your own, but it is a gift from God. He gives us the faith that we need in order to be obedient to him. So I want to close out this morning with a time of response and prayer. I want to ask the team if they would, the worship team, they would come up. And as we are closing up this morning, I want you to ask yourselves some questions. Is God calling you to take a step of faith today? Maybe you're in a situation in your life where you've got to make some decisions. God's calling you to something, and it's requiring some faith from you. Let me ask you, what's holding you back from stepping out of your boat? Is it fear? Is it comfort? Is it security? What's holding you back from taking a step out, knowing that it is the Lord that is leading you, knowing that that is the will of God for you? What's holding you back from stepping out in great faith? Let me ask you, how are you listening and discerning the voice of God in your life? Are you abiding in the word? Are you being consistent in prayer? Are you fasting, truly seeking the voice of the Lord in your life? Are you in biblical community? Or are you just making decisions on your own? Or are you inviting other brothers and sisters in Christ into that process? And maybe some of you this morning, maybe you're here today and your step of faith is the step of salvation. Like Peter, when he sank into the water, he says, Lord, save me. Maybe for you, some of you this morning, is to cry out to the Lord to save you. Your first step of faith into a life of faith with Jesus. So this morning, if you hear God's voice, if he says, it is I, and you know that's what he's calling you to do, don't remain where you are. Step out and walk with Jesus. Let's pray. God, I hope and pray that we've been challenged by your word this morning. God, challenged in our faith. God, would you increase our faith? God, would you help us with our unbelief? God, often we are filled with fear and anxiety. We know what we ought to do. We know what you've called us to do. God, we're being held back. We remain in our comfort. We remain in our security. We remain in our boat. And God, would you make it very clear to us if you're calling us, Lord. And would you give us the faith and the boldness to step out in faith. God, I pray for the person this morning who is not a follower of Jesus. And maybe this morning you're calling that person to take that step of faith. Maybe they've been visiting this campus for a while. Maybe their parents have shared the gospel with them. Maybe their friends have been inviting them to church, and they've been thinking about what it means to follow Jesus. Would they take that step this morning? No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. God, I pray for those who are followers of yours, but they are facing a decision that needs to be made. God, would you help them to walk out, step out in obedience to you? God, we love you. We thank you for your word this morning. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Will you guys stand?